Just enough to make it real for me. Whatever that means.
The fuck? What the heck? Is this the session version?
You got the edited version.
Oh, hell no. What the hell? God damn. Man, get this. Oh. I'm over here trying to jam some Marsh Madness. I hit up the damn censored version. Damn. We're gonna let that ride. Anyway, welcome everyone to another edition of the MDX Podcast. I am your co-host, Mr. Maurice the Prophet,
and I'm Danny Dang.
And thank you very much for joining. Man, I'm over here like cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I'm like, okay, what should the intro music be? And I'm like, today's the first day of the NCAA tournament. It's March Madness. It's only right to have Future start off the show with March Madness, with the anthem. You know what I mean? Yep. So I had it fired up. You know, I tested out my Audacity. I made sure Skype was working this time. I hit up my boy. I'm like, okay, we good. You know what I'm saying? I got something to drink over here. I'm good. Don't nothing kill the buzz. Don't nothing kill the flow. Don't nothing kill the vibe. There's some edited ass shit.
That's crazy. Little do people know, we tried this yesterday and it didn't work.
Oh, yesterday was tragic, y'all. For real. It was same setup. You know, like yesterday we were all in position. We were ready to go. We were fired up and ready to talk. And I called Danny on the Skype joint. And I could tell he connected, but I couldn't hear nothing, and he couldn't hear me. I'm like, hello, 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 and he said he was like, hello, 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 but we couldn't connect. So what happened was that my Skype was saying, you're using the old version of Skype. You need to download the new version. I bet. So I hit Danny up. I'm like, hey, give me like 10 minutes. I need to download this new joint of Skype, and we'll get started. He's like, all right, cool. So I go to download the new Skype. And the new Skype is like, nah, you got to get rid of the old Skype first. I'm like, okay, I'll get rid of the old Skype. I'm fine with that. So I go to, like, you know, like my control panel, my uninstall area to go uninstall Skype. And I hit the uninstall button, and it's talking about, nah, you can't do that, fam. You got to, because you're missing the original source where it came from in your computer. And I'm like, the original source? Oh, fuck. So, I'm, like, trying to figure out. So, then I hit Daniel, but it's going to be a minute. And then, so, I found, like, a little workaround. Because I Googled, how do you find the original source of Skype? And so, I found this little message board. I saw some people talking about it. Some guy had the exact same problem I had. And someone gave him a link. And they said, this link will help you. Will be able to kill your old Skype. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to try it out. I don't know what I'm getting myself into. You know, it's a roll of the dice, but, you know, we're going to do it. So I launched it, and it actually worked. It worked. Then I got the new version of Skype. I was good, but that was like an hour and a half later when all that took place, and I was falling asleep. So I was like, you know, we'll just do it tomorrow. But yeah, here we are, folks. Here we are on this Thursday. And, as you know, I was playing the children's version of March Madness, the version that you can play in front of your kids, because it's the first day of the tournament, and that makes me wonder and brings me to the question, Mr. Danny Dang, what does your Final Four look like?
You know, March Madness for me is like fantasy football. I don't do it. I don't fill out a bracket. Uh-huh. I just watch games.
You just watch the games?
Yeah, I don't. I think I filled out a bracket like once ever.
Uh huh.
I just don't care about it enough.
You don't even follow like Washington State?
I mean, I do, but I don't, I mean, I just like watch games. I don't, I'm, you know, I mean, it's like fantasy, man. Like, people get so into it and then like they get all butthurt about this fake football that they're, that they've put together. And then so like, I just watch people and like today already, I was like, well, there goes my bracket. And it's like, well. So yeah. I've never really gotten like into it. Every year I say Kansas is gonna win. I say it every year.
It's like a safe bet.
Well, I say that too because Paul Pierce is like one of my favorite basketball players, and he went to Kansas.
Oh, okay.
And so I always just pick Kansas.
Wait, didn't Anthony Davis go to Kansas, or he went to Kentucky?
No, he was a Kentucky guy.
Okay, all right. I get those two confused, like those two teams confused. Like, players who went to Kansas, I think they played for Kentucky, and the other way around. Mm. I always get them mixed up all the time. But I know what you mean, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, a good friend of mine, his girlfriend is a huge Kansas head. She's a huge fan of Kansas, so she's, all about them and everything like that. So that means I hate them. I'm playing. I got Kansas. I don't have my bracket in front of me, but I got Kansas going. I think I got them going to the Elite Eight though, and I got them being beat by somebody. But I got three. I got three West Coast teams. I got Duke, Arizona, Oregon, of course, and UCLA.
Huh.
And somebody was like, "Hey, you got three West Coast?" And I'm just like, "Yeah," but the Pac-12 was. They beasted this year. Like, everyone out west, every team out west was playing strong, and I think they had the best conference. You know, the Big Ten ain't shit. That's a soft ass conference. I'm not gonna pick anybody from the Big Ten. You know, Big Ten ain't shit. I don't think the ACC was as dominant. I mean, granted, you got Duke and University of North Carolina in the tournament at the same time, which is good. And of course, you got like Virginia Tech or whatnot, but you know, like, but they're gonna always be in the tournament, though, so that's like no big deal. But this is the first time where, in a while, where so many West Coast teams actually made it to the dance. So, I don't know. I think it's gonna be good. I would love if Oregon makes the Final Four, especially with the roster that they have, I'll be so happy because I mean they brought back four starters from last year. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So. I mean, they have a good experience on that team. They have juniors on that team as well too. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, there's a good chance that they'll probably be as good next year as well. You know, they have probably arguably the best sixth man that's coming off the bench too. So I'm just saying, like, man, I love to see that happen.
Yeah, it could be interesting.
But we'll see it though. Did you watch any of the games today?
No, I did not.
No. Nah, I got you.
No, didn't watch any games today.
Yeah, man. How was your day?
Today was okay. Yeah. It was our first day of sun in like 2 weeks.
Oh, for real?
It's just been raining. They said we got a year's worth of rain in the last like 5.5 days.
God damn, it's like that?
Yeah.
It was like storming?
No.
It was just constantly just coming down. It's just rain the whole time.
Yep.
Ugh. So I've been folks were acting the fool outside, weren't they?
Oh yeah, people were like outside, like, you know, doing stuff.
Look, we could be out. We could be out. We could leave the house finally.
Yeah. But so it was sunny outside, so I went outside after work and
yeah.
Went on a little walk and stuff, and then that's about it.
Oh yeah,
Oh
yeah, you said you went to warm. You went for a run, right?
Yeah.
Good shit right there, man. Good shit. I was gonna ask you about that because, because I know you got your swole on yesterday and everything. I was gonna ask you, you're still doing your runs or whatnot.
So when it's raining, I go to the gym, and when it's nice, I just do stuff outside.
Yeah.
Cause I hate being inside the gym.
Really?
Can't stand it.
Wait, for real? For real?
Yeah, I hate the gym.
Shut the fuck up, for real.
It's boring.
Boring, man. It's like a playground.
No, it's not.
Ugh. What makes wait? How is the gym boring? When you have like, you have machines galore. You got weights. You got free weights. You got machine weights. You know what I mean? You got the exercise joints. And of course, you got, like, you know, the little auxiliaries, like the bands, the balls and whatnot. Pause. You know what I'm saying? bands and the balls. Pause, nigga. Shit. Fuck. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't feel that?
Nope. I don't like, because you're just in a room. Like, I don't like it.
Wait, do you work out at a gym, or do you work out at, like, a clubhouse?
No. I go to, like, a gym.
Okay.
But I don't like gyms. Because you're just, like, you're just inside, and you're, like, standing there. Like, if you're on a treadmill, you're just standing there. Like, you're just stationary. I hate being stationary. Mm. So, like I said, if I don't need to go to the gym, so if I can go, like, outside, yeah, I'm there.
So you're one of those, like, you're more so one of those, I like a change of scenery kind of peoples.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I have set routes when I'm outside, but, like, every once in a while, I'll throw, like, a wrench in it and be like, I'm going to go this way today.
Okay. Yeah. That's what a lot of, a lot of people who did cross country, that was their whole thing. Like, why they prefer cross country over, like, track and whatnot. Because they're like, you know, cross country, you have a change of scenery. It's kind of nice to go through, you know, to change up a route, like what you said right now and everything. You know what I'm saying?
But right.
I can see that, though. See, for me, the gym is like, it's freaking therapy. I love being, and especially, like, I like being in them old school, hardcore, no frills, no fanfare and all like that. Just really, just like strip, gritty, grimy, straight iron, dark, dingy. I like that kind of shit. You know, where it's hot and the AC hasn't worked since 1997. You know what I'm saying? Like, everyone in there sweating and shit like that. It's musty. You know, you smell feet everywhere. But it's shit that gets the job done. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like that shit. Like, I go to Blast, and Blast is one of those, like, it's not like it's not fancy. It's not fancy, and it's not like, you know, it's not like dirty and grimy like what I like, but it's kind of like in that middle ground. That's okay. You know what I'm saying? So it's decent, but I don't know, man. I just like being in that environment.
My gym is like a gym that you would like.
Oh,
it's just, there's no gimmicks behind it. Yeah. Like, the same people have been going there for like 40 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you don't have like a bunch of meatheads and like girls that shouldn't be there.
Right.
Like, everyone's there to just like do their thing. Like, yeah. No one. Then I love that about it, because it's like, it's a smaller gym. When I first started there, they only had one TV.
Yeah.
And now they have three, but.
Okay.
I mean, they have three TVs and that's it.
Like, yeah.
Their Stairmaster machine is like the old school one. It's not even like stairs.
Yeah.
It's like paddles. And like, it's old school. Like, everything is old school about it. But I like it because, like I said, man, people are there to like do their thing. Like, girls aren't there, like, you know, looking at themselves in the mirror and like taking selfies and stuff at the gym. Like, you don't have that. And so that's what I like about it.
Hell yeah, dude. Dude, I used to work out when they used to have the Crunch gyms all over the place. Did they have Crunch out by you back in the day?
Yeah.
Well, they had Crunch, and I had a membership there. And I'm like, man, because exactly what you said, you know, it was cool because, I mean, they had like they had mad equipment, which I thought was kind of nice. But like what you said, though, it felt like an MTV reality show being in there. You know, like, it was just the same kind of people up in there. Folks just wanted to socialize. Folks just wanted to chill. Nobody was really actually working. You know what I'm saying? And like, God forbid, like, you know, if you maxing out and you trying to get that last rep in. And you're like, ooh! You know, you're doing one of those joints, and then, you know, people look at you like, oh God, what is this deal? Oh goodness, oh God, nah, God, is you okay? Dude, get the shit out of here. You know, like, man, show ass out of here, dude. So, I know what you mean, you know what I'm saying? But like, I kind of like that shit. Okay, let's just get to it, because. Okay. I've been dying to talk to you about this since yesterday. So, you want me to set it up?
Sure.
Okay, so... okay, all right. So, fill in whatever I'm missing. So, over the weekend, I went to go see Get Out. Get Out! Okay. I went to go see Get Out. Loved it. Loved it so much. Like, it's damn near perfect to me. I love it. So, my boy Danny, Mr. Dang over here, he went... Am I allowed to say it or not?
Yeah, I went to the movies.
Okay. All right. Well, no, I didn't know who's listening. So,
Tuesday?
Oh, it was Tuesday. Yeah, you're right.
It was a Tuesday. Yeah.
Yeah. So Dan went to the show on Tuesday, and he went to go see it. So, my boy hit me. He like, I just saw Get Out. It was interesting. I'm like, time out. I didn't want Zach Morris timeouts. Time out. Because I want to have a raw, fresh conversation with him about this on the show with y'all who are listening. Because I always feel I want the conversation to be as authentic as possible because our listening audience are like family to us. And we're all in the room together. We all chilling. We all drinking. We all smoking. We all just hanging them back. And we just chopping it up like friends, like family. So I want to be as authentic as possible. And that's where we are right now. And plus, and the reason why it's a big deal, because like me, I love films. I love watching movies. I like to analyze movies. I like to look at camera angles. I like to like really go deep into like the analytics of how things come about. Danny's not much of that guy, but to be able to have an MDX podcast where we can actually do a movie review, I am stoked. And we're about to have it right now. So fair warning to anybody who's not seen Get Out yet, please.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. We're spoiling the shit out of this movie right now. There's going to be no filters whatsoever. So I recommend to you either fast forward this episode or come back to it after you see it. And you know, in the meantime, listen to an old episode of the MDX podcast just to get your MDX on. But we're about to spoil the shit out of this. So spoiler, 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 spoiler. All right. Let's do it. Get Out. Get out! Get your ass out! And he got his ass out. Barely.
He did.
So, my take on it, I felt, was very... There were so many... The thing is that there were so many small details and so many small nuances that Jordan Peele covered in this movie with the main character, Chris, that was so... real and so spot on, but like the thing is that you would not identify it if you're not black. And it was like small little things. I was like, oh, that's true, that's real, that's how it's like, that's what happens, that's how you feel, that's what they say, you know. And that's the thing, is that like, you know, like I'm watching it and I'm just thinking to myself, like, I've been in these positions so many times in my life, like, it's not even funny. Where you get to a point where it's almost just, like, a part of life. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of fucked up. It shouldn't be that way, man. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, even, like, the small shit where he's at the, you know, he's at the, that Saturday gathering, and all those people are there. And the one lady is like, you know, hi, nice to meet you, Chris. And then she starts kind of like grabbing his arm and kind of like, you know, squeezing his
like
arm.
Like sizing him up, kind of.
Yeah. And I cannot tell you how many times that has happened to me. That happens almost all the time when I'm meeting some like new folks. And it's like, it's so weird because after a while, you just kind of, you get very used to it. You know what I'm saying? But like... And I know that, you know, like, when I'm meeting people, they're not doing it, they're not sizing me up because they want to, you know, they want to take my body and take my entire exterior. You know, they're not trying to auction me off or whatever. Unless I hope not. But it's little shit like that where you're like, yeah, that does happen. That does happen. That's really fucking annoying, man. So, you know, that's like what I really liked about that. He captured so much authenticity, you know, from the film, you know, when it came to, you know, like those small little nuances. Now, I'm gonna tell you straight up, like, when it came to Rose, I just wasn't thinking about it. I really thought that she was riding with him. I really thought she was riding with him, man.
So did I.
Holy shit. And then the part with the keys, when she's like, yes. I got the keys. I'm like,
yeah.
What the fuck?
When she did that heel turn, I was like, oh my goodness, no.
Dude. I'm like, at that point, I'm like, he's going to die. This movie's gonna end up with him dying. This really freaking sucks. Like, I really want him to be okay, man. Get out of this shit. You know, but he's gonna freaking die. Because that was a situation where I'm like, you can't win, bro.
Right. Yeah. Because Rose, she did a great job, like, you know, just kind of playing it off. And I was like, all right. And then when that door was open into that closet and he opened up that little box and he saw all those pictures of her and all the other black people, and I was like, oh my goodness,
right?
And I was like, oh, maybe she just has like this, like a, you know, like a black person fetish or something like that, right? But she kept saying like, you're my first black boyfriend,
right?
I haven't told my parents, like, should I have told them, type of thing, right? So the whole time you're like, yeah, maybe she is down to ride, and like, sure, she just thinks her parents are absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Because then, like, but then, like, when she turns, you look at it, you're like, look at her dad, he's kind of crazy, and her mom's super crazy.
Right.
And then that, her brother was like, dude, that guy was extra crazy.
Her brother reminded me of freaking the Joker, Heath Ledger. Did he not remind you of the Joker?
Kind of, yeah, because he was kind of cynical and, like, weird.
Yeah,
like,
man.
And then he was talking about, like, when he was talking about MMA at the dinner table, and he was just like,
right.
He's like, actually, stand up. And he was like,
right. You want to fight him, right?
I know, of course, you know, I'm thinking, oh, maybe it was just alcohol, right? Because he definitely seemed drunk or on something. But, like, the dad didn't really stop it. The mom wasn't really doing anything,
right?
You know, so the... So I don't know. I think they captured it really well. Everything was really... So, you know me, like, I don't look at stuff like that. I don't look at, like you just said earlier, like, I don't break stuff down like that, right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, I noticed a lot of, like, the... Because, like, I don't watch scary movies and horror movies either.
Right.
But for some reason, like, this one kind of just stuck out, right? So I was like, all right, cool, I'll go see it, whatever. And there wasn't... It was... And... It's not like a horror movie.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like what we would think of as a horror movie, like a Saw or something like
some
that,
Jason,
right?
Shit or some like Freddy.
Right. Every part that like would scare you would be like, it was just like a like silence, and then like a noise would happen.
Yeah.
Right. The other than that, it wasn't really gory. I mean, there was blood in it, right? Mm-hmm. But outside of that, it wasn't really, it was more of like, it just messed with your mind more than anything.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, it was like, so, it was like a terror film. It was a terror film.
Right. You know? Right. riddle me this.
Yo.
So, I've been wanting to talk to someone about this. So, when they're at that party, right, at the house?
Yeah.
Okay. And it's all white people,
right?
With like that, the one other black dude that looks like Dave Chappelle.
Oh, what's his name? Lakeith Stanfield. Yeah.
He looks like Dave Chappelle.
He does. I didn't think about that. You're right.
So there was that guy. What's up with that old Asian dude?
Okay. All right. This is my take on that. Because it was sort of random, you know what I'm saying?
And he wasn't like an American Asian guy. He was like a Japanese Asian dude.
Yeah. Here's my take on that. I think because, and this is like my, kind of like my like thing about it or whatever. Oh shit. I think that because at one point, there was, okay, because Asians, I think because, you know, because Asians had, you know, they face, you know, unfortunately y'all face a great deal of stereotypical situations. I'm losing my words right now. Not segregation. You gotta face hardships. You know, like when it comes to race. You know, y'all have your levels of racism as well.
Prejudice.
Thank you, prejudice. I'm like, not segregation. What's the word I'm looking for? Prejudice. Yeah, y'all face a great deal of prejudice. From white communities.
Right.
And you know, like we can go back to like the Japanese internment camps, and the everything that happened, like, you know, with Pearl Harbor and whatnot and everything, mm-hmm. it goes to that. However, I feel that because y'all, like, Asian people have, like, still have, like, a higher status in this country, higher than black people on a social level, but from white folks, not as high as their level. It's kind of like y'all are, like, in this middle point. Where there's acceptance, but it's only like a certain amount of acceptance that comes from white people, and I think it's a very systemic way of still systematically oppressing you guys, but still at the same time give you more leverage that you will have above other minority groups, above black people, above Latino people, above even Muslims. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is because that's why he asked the question that he asked. Because you remember he asked, you know, how would you rate the African American experience? Would you say it's good or bad? Or I'm paraphrasing what his exact words.
Yeah,
were.
I think he said it was better or worse.
Better, yeah,
or something like that.
Right, right. It was something that to that matter. So after watching it, obviously, like, you know, after, like, you know, it's said and done. You know, and you find out that he's there because he wants to be part of the auction.
Right.
And he's asking that question so this way he can evaluate if would it be worth it for him to buy a black body so this way he can put himself in it and live out that life or whatever he was going to do with it, you know, whatever his
right,
thing was.
Right,
so
right.
So it was like, would it be worth it? Because even though we're both minorities, would it be worth it for me to leave my social status where it is right now, and to live in your and live your life, you know, live my life in your body? Will I have an advantage or will I have a disadvantage? Because, like, you know, I need to know if I'm going to put money on this or not. So that's why I'm like, you know, I'm saying, like, you know, because Asians are kind of like in that middle ground. He was trying to see for himself. Would I get an advantage if I'm in that body, or am I better off just being where I'm at right now?
Mm-hmm.
So that's because I did think about that for a while. Like, I think it has to do with because, like, where Asians rank socially in this country, and because it is higher than blacks, but same time lower than whites. He was asking that question because he was trying to figure out, is it worth it for me to leave my life to live in your body? So that's kind of like my take on that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
There was no Hispanic people in the movie.
None. Nah. And that's right. And no Latinos, no Muslims, just whites, the few black folks that were in there. And
one Asian dude.
Asian cat. Yeah. Right. Yeah, it was nuts, man. But yeah, so that's kind of like my way of thinking about that. Is that kind of like what you were thinking of as well too, or?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. Kind of.
Did it kind of throw you off when you saw him?
A little bit, because I was like, oh, that's interesting, because it was like all white people, right?
Yeah.
And then there was like the one Asian guy, and I was like, huh, I wonder what he's there for. And then my whole thinking was, I didn't go in as deep as your thought process on it because I'm not wired that way.
Yeah.
But my whole thought was he was an older Asian gentleman.
Yeah.
So again, almost piggybacking on what you were saying is, I was thinking that maybe he was trying to buy into the whole thing too.
Right. Right.
You know, to see if that was something that he wanted to do, because for me, like, So they were at that party, right? And then that whole thing happened when he took the picture, and then the guy was like, "Oh, get out!" And like he got all crazy. So then I was like, "Well, this is so weird," because I was like, maybe he's hypnotized or something like that too, right?
Yeah.
And then they went on that walk, like him and the girl,
yeah.
And like they were there all night, and I was just like, and then when they were doing the whole auction thing, I was like, dude, they're selling this dude into slavery right now.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I thought it was. And I was just like, this is so awkward, right? Yeah. And I was like, this is like a modern, like the only thing I thought about during that whole scene when they were doing like the bingo cards was when they were in Key and Peele. Did you ever see the episode where they were doing the slave auction?
No, I didn't. I haven't really watched it that much.
Oh, okay. So it was basically Key and Peele. They were like one and two, and then there was a third person that was like on the selling block.
Yeah.
But all these dudes were like yoked, right? And then there was Key and Peele. And so like everyone was like, they all bought like the more yoked guys than Key and Peele. And they're just like, and they're all sitting there like, this is so messed up because they're all buying these guys because of the way they look. Like, yeah. They're like, don't you know what we can offer you? So that's the only thing I could think of the whole time. I was like, man, like, I thought about that,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I was just like, it was crazy. Well, at first I thought they were like holding kind of like a funeral for him. Mm,
okay.
Right. Cause they had that picture.
Yeah.
Everyone was wearing black. There was like black chairs.
Yeah.
Right. So I was like, oh, this is kind of awkward.
Right.
You know? And I was like, oh, okay. So then that was the first thought in my head. I was like, oh, maybe they're like already plotting his death or something like that.
Yeah.
But, and then they started doing, like, I saw the auction part, and I was like, okay, well, maybe they're selling him into, you know, being someone, because it didn't click with me yet what was going on.
Right.
With,
yeah, because.
Right?
That was because
you had the maid lady who was kind of weird.
Yeah.
And then you had, like, the grounds guy that was kind of weird.
Yeah.
And then that other dude at the party, and I was like, these people are so awkward, but I was like, maybe, I couldn't really put my finger on what was going on.
Right. See, exactly, right. That didn't come until like much later, where you were like,
no, like at the end,
yeah,
pretty much,
pretty much at the end, exactly, when everything really like came together, and you like, now I know why all that was happening, because
right
when it came to Lakeith Stanfield's character, I just thought that like, I thought that he was drugged, because you remember at the beginning of the movie when he was kidnapped, you know what I'm saying? And then you see him later on at the party, and then you're like, okay, he's probably, I guess they drugged him. And after they kidnapped him, they drugged him. And,
I didn't even put that was him.
Oh, yeah, that's him. Yeah, yeah, that was that at the very beginning when he got kidnapped.
Right. He was walking through that neighborhood.
Right. And,
okay.
And that was, because when you put it together, that was the brother who kidnapped him.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That was a brother, and then
there was the car.
Yeah, cause remember that car? Remember
the white car.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay.
So they picked him up and everything. So, I hadn't had it yet. But when I saw him later on, I was like, okay, so he got kidnapped, because I already knew some foul shit was gonna happen. So
right.
I'm like, okay, I know foul shit's about to come up in a little bit, and the way how Lakeith Stanfield is acting, you know. He has to be drunk. They had to put him on some major crazy drugs. Or that hypnosis. Obviously, the hypnosis is what it was. You know?
Right.
At first, when Chris went into the room to be hypnotized, I was like, okay, don't tell me the whole rest of the movie is just going to be like a dream or some shit.
Right.
Because I was really nervous about that. I'm like, don't tell me this whole rest of the movie is going to be like a dream, and he's going to wake up from being hypnotized, and everything's going to be okay, and he's going to go home, and him and Rose be happy for the rest of their life. So I'm glad that like that we actually like, you know, saw through that of him going in and out. You know what I'm saying? Of being under her, for lack of a better term, spell. Shit.
Right. Well, because what I noticed was like when he was at that first scene when he's like laying in bed, and then he got up and he looked at that bear and he turned it.
Yeah.
Right. He probably thought it was like a nanny cam.
Yeah.
Or like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he turned it. Right. He turned it, and then then he went and did his thing, and then when he then he woke up, right, and he was kind of like in a dream,
right,
or like what we thought was. And then I remember looking at the bear, and the bear was still turned.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so maybe he wasn't in a dream.
Like maybe that, maybe like so he did actually live through all that stuff.
Right. So I was like, maybe whatever he just experienced was real, or you know, something like that, and he wasn't just dreaming it.
Yeah.
But then when he went to talk to the dude, the grounds guy, and he was like, I'm sorry for last night, you know, to scare you during my exercise. That was so weird. I seriously thought he was going to get attacked. Have you seen the memes of that recently?
Oh, man, they've been hilarious. You saw the one that said, when you hear the DJ play, it's Cash Money Records, and go over at 9, and you'll wait for that dance floor. That one was the best one, man. You know what, real talk, man? The memes and the other shit is what kind of, like, influenced me, like, to push me to go see it. Because I'm like, dude, everyone's sharing all these memes. I don't understand what the fuck they mean. I don't get it. God damn, I gotta go see it now, man. I just want to be part of the fuckery.
So for me, if we summed it all up, I don't think it deserved the 99 on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm. It was a good movie. It was a great movie because it was one of those movies where, you know, most movies like that, you can figure out what's going on like halfway in it. Mm-hmm. You couldn't with this one.
Right.
Like, because there were so many twists and turns in it, right? So it was like, I couldn't figure out what was happening. Mm-hmm. And so it was just like one thing after another. Like, it just got crazier and crazier. So that part I liked. I enjoyed the story of it. And I enjoyed most of the humor that tried to come out of it. Uh-huh. But I think of the humor part, I think they tried too hard.
Okay.
Now, don't get me wrong. The friend, the best friend, Ron, was. He was my favorite character in the whole movie.
Oh, he was great. He was freaking great, man.
He was great. However, I feel like, especially towards the end, I feel like they were trying too hard. Now, when he decided he figured out what was going on, he went to the police and he told that the police lady, and then she brought in the other two cops.
Yeah.
And he was telling the story and they just laughed at him. Like, I thought that was really good because that's a crazy story that he would make up, right?
Yeah, it's an insane story, yeah.
Right. It's insane to say that your friend got kidnapped by his white girlfriend and he got hypnotized by the white mom and all that. Like, that's absurd to talk about.
Yeah.
Especially if they're doing it, like, you know, in our time right now, right? That's crazy.
Yeah.
But then when he did, like, the whole TSA thing, like, the whole TSA thing was funny at the beginning, but then, like, it just got, I don't know. For me, I feel like it just got too weird, and, like, I think they were trying too hard. But I get it, because it's Jordan Peele. Like, he's a comedian.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he's going to try to put
goofiness those in
things into it. Like, I get that.
Right.
I wasn't so much impressed with the ending per se, because I feel like it was just like an abrupt ending.
I mean, how can you really end it though?
I know, I understand that, but it's like, okay, so he escapes the house, he's driving away, Rose is shooting at him, and then he has the one lady in the car, and then she's like, grandma. So when she said grandma, I was like, oh my goodness, this is crazy.
Yeah, that's when it hit me that, holy shit, that's a grandma and grandfather who are in those bodies. Fuck!
Right. But then, the grandpa came out and then, like, killed himself.
Right.
So that whole thing happened. And then, like, the grandma had, I'm assuming she died in that car crash.
Yeah.
And then Rose comes out and she still has this shotgun. And then she gets blasted by the grandpa. Mm-hmm. But it was just like, I don't know. Like, it was just so, like,
was it so much too, like,
build up. Was it too there much? Was so much build up to it, uh-huh. And then, like, it just kind of was like, well, now they're all dead and they're just going to go back to their normal lives.
Was it too much? Was it too like boom, 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 boom?
Like, I don't know if it was too much like at once.
Yeah, like back, but, to back to back to back.
But I mean, like it happened, right? And so I was like, oh, it's probably going to end soon. But the fact that it was like Rose dies, he gets in the car, and then they just drive away. So I'm just like, meh, okay. Because the thing was, is he still like, if he hears like something stir, is he going to go into a trance?
See, and that's a good question. That's a good question. And I was thinking to myself, like, it could be only from, because you're right, because, like, you know, the next time he hears a spoon in the teacup, you know, stirring, you know, is he going to, like, you know, is he going to sink in?
Yeah.
I wonder if that was, like, kind of, like, we had to be left to assume that they find, like, a witch doctor or something like that. They do live in New York, so there's all kind of characters. They find some kind of witch doctor so they can reverse it. Or maybe it only works when she does it. Because if you think about it, she'll be the only person, you know, because let's say, like, the situation worked out perfectly, where they're able to hypnotize it and they go through the process, like how they do with everyone else.
Right.
If that's the case, then it's probably set up where it's only when she does it, because that's kind of like her thing. When she does it, they go into the trance and they follow through with the procedure. So it could be either or. It could be either, you know, only when she does it, that's when the trance happens, or they may have gone to New York, they went back to Brooklyn, they found a witch doctor, and they had it reversed. I don't know. But, I mean, that is a good question. I did think about that as well, too. You know, but it's kind of like one of those things where it's like, it is a little bit open-ended, but you kind of have to, like, just kind of trust the story, basically, where it's like, okay, well, they're just going to handle that on their own, basically.
Right.
You know?
If I had to rate the movie out of 10, I'd probably give it like a 7.5, 8
out of 10. Man, that's low. All because of the ending?
No, just in general. Like I said, it was a good movie, but it wasn't, maybe, because I know, like, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm not black and I don't understand, you know, all the little things that they're trying to do, but I just feel like, I don't know. Because I saw your post about it on Facebook and, like, all your friends were talking about it, and I was like, and so when I saw it, I was like, like, it was good, but it wasn't like,
no, and, you know. And that's fair, you know, and that's fair, because, like I opened up the conversation with, there was a lot of small nuances that I can directly relate with that have happened to me, you know, like with the touch of the arm. Like when you brought up the wrestling as well too, when the brother got up, that was another thing that always was happening, where like, even like when I would go out to like bars or whatever, and I'm hanging out with my boys, white boys always wanna like fuck with you. And not like I'm gonna kick your ass, but like they see me and they'd be like, damn, you're fucking huge. I'm back and kick your ass, though. But they'll say it in, like, in a joking way. And the way how they say it, I'm so used to always hearing it that I know that it's coming off in a joking way. So I'm not even tripping. But it always does happen. And then, like, you know, then comes the whole, like, you know, let me grab your arm and shit like that. Or, and then they'll come back to me and they'll be like, how much do you bench? And do you play football? And, you know, man, you'll kick my ass, but I'll still try to kick your ass. Shit like that. And, like, and to me, it's so, like I said, I'm so used to it. But the thing is, like, when I was watching it on the film, all it did to me was, like, it really did, like, kind of, like, illuminate the obsession that there is when it came to, like, I guess, like, the mystique that white people have for black people. And also, like, I think the social commentary in this movie, and I think we need to address it as well, too, I think was very important, where the part when he was, when Chris was in the chair in the basement, and the guy who you know who bought him the art, the photographer, the blind guy.
Yeah.
When he was on the TV screen, Chris asked him, "Why black people? Why?" After this part was so poignant, because the guy was like, "It has nothing to do with race. You know, it's nothing to do with race. It's about fulfilling the greater good." And the thing is that, like, it made me kind of think, like, you know, the white, like, white folks who are very liberal probably don't have hate in themselves. But the thing is, though, is that, like, because they kind of, like, I'm trying to word this correctly, because they have, like, a certain type of sense of, like, you know, understanding of, like, what their lives are like and, like, what's good for their lives. And even though they are aware that people of color do not have the advantages or privileges that they have, even though they are aware of that, still, because it is ingrained in their fiber, they know they have advantages, that they can do things, that they have more options, that they can go further, that they have much more to choose from. And because of that, they feel that the world is my pickings. And, you know, if I want to pursue it, I'm going to pursue it. And if it means I got to hurt some people in the process, oh well, so be it. It's not out of malice, but it's only because that's all I know. I only know how to have the advantage. And I think that's kind of like what this movie was kind of communicating, was that advantage was very clear and it's very there. That they know that they have it. It's not out of hate. It's not out of malice. It's not out of, you know, we hate black people or anything. But it's more so, I just understand my position in this life. And I understand my advantages in this life. And because of that, I'm going to continue living this life that I live, because this is all I know. And is it their fault? I don't put blame on them. I don't think it is their fault. I think it's more of a systematic way of how life has been for them. Mm-hmm. I think it's just that's just how life has been, and that's the way how it was set up many hundreds, 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 hundreds of years ago. When all the shit was being built, and they're just continuing the cycle of life, basically. So I think that's pretty much like kind of like the social commentary of where it's coming from. Are white people evil? No, they're not. But white people do have an abundance of advantages that they have over every other race. And that's something that cannot be argued with at all. And I think that with this whole process, with the whole bingo game and the whole, like, you know, auction and everything, I think that was kind of a representation of, you know, this is just how life is evolving to the next level. And this is kind of like where we are. And it's another level of our advantages and our privileges. So that's kind of like, you know, what I took from that. You know, in terms of the social commentary, and I think that that's why, to me personally, it ranks very high because of the accuracy that it has, because like it really is, that's really how it is, and you know, in this world and in this life, and it sucks because, you know, no one should have. You know, no one should have advantages like that because like, you know, they look a certain way. You know, we all should be playing from an equal playing field, but we're not, though. We're not playing from an equal playing field, unfortunately. We're not. You know, we all do go to school, we all do work really hard, but we don't have equal playing fields, though. So, but I think that's where he was coming from, though. And I really liked that. I really did appreciate that, because that was something that I think that everyone needs to really understand and like really know. You know, like we can sit on Facebook all day. And we can toss memes around. We can toss articles around. We can toss numbers around. We can do that all day. But when you really go into like the underbelly of this, of systematic oppression, that's when the conversation that needs to happen, this very tough conversation, can finally take place. And I think finally it is taking place. You know, not only you and I, Danny, but like other people as well too, are sitting around having these talks about what they just saw with that movie, and they're actually dissecting much more deeper into understanding, okay, why is it like this? Where does it come from? And what do we do now so we can move forward properly? And I think that's very healthy. Is it going to be an easy conversation? Absolutely not. But it's not supposed to be an easy conversation. It's supposed to make you feel very uncomfortable, because without that uncomfortable feeling, then we won't be able to progress. And I think that this movie really did do the job to spark some kind of interest for us to be able to talk about this more open and freely. So that's why, to me personally, it deserved the 99%, because on the back end of this film, it's going to do a lot when it comes to upping the social awareness, to making it much more to highlight it much more.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not saying that like, oh, you wrong for your 7.5. I'm not saying that at all, bro. You know what I'm saying? I was a little surprised. I'm not saying you're wrong or anything like that. But however, that's why I was very interested in having this conversation with you, because I knew that your take was going to be different from my take. So I was very curious. I'm very curious to see what Danny, how his perspective was with this film, and I totally understand where you're coming from with it.
Yeah, it was, like I said, it was a great movie. I enjoyed it. I don't regret seeing it at all. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see like how it fares against all the other movies coming out this year, right? I guess, for all the awards and stuff happening next year.
Oh yeah,
that'd be interesting.
Good question, because it's way outside the timeline for award season, because award season normally starts in October. So good question. I wonder if it will be considered next year for the Oscars. But
because you look at like the slew of movies coming out.
Yeah.
You know, and so you're like, I mean, do I think it deserves awards? Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
Because it breaks the mold on any movie that's been out in the last, I don't know, 10 years?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Because this, when's the last time that a movie came out that actually had people talking? Like, not like, oh, this was like a super dope movie, but like that had them thinking like outside of social, what the, you know what I mean?
I think the last one was Crash, but Crash was very on the surface. But I think that was the last one where people actually were talking about, you know, social issues. It probably,
see, I don't even know what that movie is.
You never seen Crash?
No.
Wow, that's deep. Do you remember it?
I don't.
Wow. It got Ludacris in it. It got Brendan Fraser. It's got Sandra Bullock.
Brendan Fraser, say no more.
You stupid man. You remember it though?
2004.
It's got
Lorenzo. Oh, I'll tell you why I don't know about it.
Huh.
Because I was in Australia at the time.
Oh yeah, y'all don't get movies till like 6 years later, right?
Well, not even that, but when you're on your mission, you're like cut off from everything.
Oh, okay.
So like 2004 to 2006, like movies, those are like a blur. I don't even know. I can't name movies from that time frame.
Wow.
And then music from that time frame. Like, I missed, like, Hyphy. I missed, like, when, like, Dem Franchise Boys was hot. And, like, all that stuff. Like, I miss that whole genre of music.
You're actually in a good spot because that was a very bad time for hip hop. That was a very ugly period for hip hop. So you actually are an advantage, actually, to not remember that bullshit.
So I missed all that. So like 2004, 2006, like that whole time frame of anything pop culture, like I'm out.
Did you? Oh wait, was that during your when you weren't watching wrestling?
Yeah, because I stopped watching wrestling in 2003.
Oh, and you came back what year?
Right before 11, pretty much.
Damn. So you came from Australia in
'06.
So what were you doing wrestling wise between 2006 and 2011?
I wasn't watching wrestling.
Oh, so when you cut it off, you were just done.
Yeah. I literally watched WrestleMania 19, and I didn't watch any wrestling until a house show in Pullman that I went to with Johnny right before WrestleMania 26.
Jesus, man.
Yeah, so I had no idea what was going on. And then, so we went to the show, you know, and you've heard the story a million times. And then all I remember is WrestleMania 26 was coming, and I knew it was in Phoenix. And then I didn't watch wrestling. And then I remember hearing about the 2011 Royal Rumble being a 40-man Royal Rumble.
You're like, when they start doing that shit?
Yeah, so I ordered it, and then I didn't miss a pay-per-view after that. Hmm. And then I've been watching ever since Royal Rumble 2011.
Was that the one where ADR won, right?
Yeah.
Santino should have won that one.
Yeah, okay. Because we really want to see Santino versus Ed.
So were you even more confused that Bret Hart was all of a sudden back on TV?
Yes.
You're like, wait, what year is this? Like, what the hell is really going on? Shit.
Yeah, I just remember. It was a whole mess of things, and wondering why Goldust was still there, and you know why Chris Jericho was still there, and who CM Punk was, and who's this behemoth guy named Great Khali?
Right.
Why is there this guy named Mike Knox that looks like a lumberjack?
Yeah, like. Why Sheamus look very pale.
Yeah, it was just like all these random dudes. And I'm like, what is happening? Like, who are these guys?
Who's this Triple H asshole? Never heard of him. Yeah, no, I got you. Yeah, no, that's a crazy. So do you go back and like watch WWE Network to like fill in the gaps?
Yeah. I've done that. I've went back and I did that whole thing. So, I mean, I'm caught up at least to what I have made myself catch up to. So, I mean, I watch like the pay-per-views and stuff. There's a lot of it is still like, if I had to do like trivia from that time, I'm done.
Yeah.
So my trivia knowledge would be like anything like from basically the beginning until like end of Attitude Era, and then like 2011 to present.
Well, you stopped watching in you said 2003?
Yeah.
What was happening in 2003? Okay, that was WrestleMania 19. Oh yeah, you said 19. Yeah. 19 was
So Rock Austin ended, you know, so that was all done, and then they were basically out, and then
yeah,
I mean, you had like. You had American Badass, Undertaker. I mean, Vince McMahon was still kind of in the picture. Right. Hogan was still around. It was just weird. Yeah. I mean, you had Benoit, Guerrero. So I kind of missed that whole thing. The whole Benoit, Guerrero stuff. At least their WWE stuff.
Okay, so you didn't see WrestleMania 20 when they were hugging in the middle of the ring and whatnot.
Not live. I didn't see it live. I mean, I've watched it.
Yeah.
You know, but I wasn't. Definitely wasn't. A lot of the Kurt Angle stuff I didn't watch, like the older Kurt Angle stuff. Uh-huh. And then I missed like basically the build of like Cena Batista, all that whole thing. Batista, who else was it? The Edge, Christian, all that. CM Punk.
Wait, so you missed Evolution?
Yep.
Damn.
Yep. Yeah, I missed Evolution. I missed all that.
They had like
Legacy.
They had the best shirt. Evolution. That Evolution shirt was hard as hell. It had that Evolution logo in the front.
Uh-huh.
And on the back it said paid, laid, and made. That motherfucker was hard. That shit was hard as hell, for real, man. I love that shirt. Yeah, man. Yeah, you know, 03 was like, because after WrestleMania 19, the rest of the year was like, not a dud, but like they had talent, but the booking was just kind of like random. Like, I think they were just trying to like, you know, like kind of push too much, push too much. But you know, when you have too much of a good thing, it's never good.
Right.
So I think it was kind of like that because 03 is just like, it kind of leaves you with a lot of blurs, you know? Because wrestling didn't really get good again until around WrestleMania 20. Because the build-up for WrestleMania 20 was fire. That, like, they did the damn thing with that build-up. And they made that WrestleMania feel very, very special. And then they kind of went back to the fuckery. You know, like, kind of, just kind of throwing matches around. Like, shit didn't really get interesting again, for me at least, until 06. The first half of 06... I thought was fun as hell. Well, that was a good ass year. That's when Edge won the WWE title for the very first time when he beat Cena. After the Elimination Chamber, when he cashed in Money in the Bank. Then we have WrestleMania in Chicago, which was fucking phenomenal. One of my favorite WrestleManias of all time. And then we had those because the year before they kicked that off when they brought back ECW when they had the one night stands. When they were building up One Night Stand in 05, that was fun because that's when the whole nostalgia kick came in. You know, like bringing back all the old ECW guys and everything. And it was the next year when they did it again, and then they're gonna have the extra brand of ECW, the TV show. You know, that was a fun time, but then shit went south again in 06. I don't know what they did wrong. But yeah, you missed a lot of Cena dick licking. There was a lot of John Cena dick licking, and that's when people started to really see, like, you know, yeah, he really isn't as great as you guys pump him up to be. Yeah, we're not gonna buy this bullshit, and so people were turning on him a lot, and you kind of came in at like kind of towards the end of that shit. And when they started to focus on, like, new guys like Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, and, you know, saying, like, those cats and everything.
Which
was a good time to come in. So lucky for you, you know, because you were very anti-Cena, you missed a lot of that, the dick riding.
Good.
Oh, man. Speaking of dick riding, did you hear Nicki Minaj's response?
Yeah, listen to it.
All right, this is another thing I'm very curious to get your take on. So please, the floor is all yours.
This goes back to what we've discussed before. Like, Nicki Minaj doesn't care. Like, she made a song. She put Drake on it. She put Lil Wayne on it. Right? That's her comeback. And it is like, I don't know. She doesn't care. Like, it's currently number 31 on Spotify, right? Mm-hmm. So it's number one on Spotify, number 31 on Spotify. But here's the thing: it's being listened to on Spotify. So those streams, they are creating revenue for her. Whereas Remy Ma, everyone was listening it to on, what, SoundCloud or a link that got leaked out. She's probably not making any money off it. So who wins?
My thing is this. It's like, if we want to talk about commercialism, of course Nikki has it. Of course. Of course she has the commercial aspect, the commercial appeal, the commercial advantage. Of course. Like, that's not even a secret or anything. Like, we all know that. But like I said last week when we were talking, though, where this situation is now, well, it's not even there anymore. It's like died out. But
it's gone. Nobody cares anymore.
But the thing is, the reason why nobody cares is because Nikki ruined it. Because where it was on some street shit. The streets owned the beef. Like, we had it. It was ours. We got to own it. Like, it was something that belonged to you and me, Danny. And to Carla and to Jan Batista and to Melissa, and you know what I'm saying? Like we owned it. The streets owned that shit and the Johnny. But now the streets don't own it no more. It's on some fucking commercial bubblegum shit. And that's why I'm just like, it was some street shit that you, but you turned into Poppy Feel Good Top 40. No.
But she won. She won in that sense. Okay, so the thing is you're taking Remy Ma, who's from the streets, and then you're taking Nicki Minaj, who came from the streets and now has new money and is bad and bougie. Right?
Okay.
Because Remy Ma is still grimy. She's still hood.
Yeah.
She's still like that, right? That's how she grew up. That's what she is. But the thing is you're taking like, this would be like if you took Notorious B.I.G., if he was still around.
Right, right.
And then he went and like attacked, I don't know, let's say Macklemore.
Okay.
Right? Because Macklemore, quote unquote, struggled, but now he's made it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got two different worlds. It's apples and oranges at this point. I mean, they're kind of the same because they're in music and they're rappers or whatever you want to call them. But it's two different flavors. And so it's kind of hard to, it's different when it was like Nas and Jay-Z. Like, they are two people who struggled together and they were beefing and it was great. You had Tupac and Biggie, two people who came from the same, cut out from the same mold.
Right.
And, right, so it works because they're, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like Andre the Giant versus Hornswoggle. It's completely different because your matches are going to be different. So, yeah, it's going to be different. But the thing is, you can't put them together in a battle. It's just not going to work.
But why not, though? Because Nicki comes from the battle rap era.
She does, but the thing is she's not that anymore. I'm you'll never forget how to learn to ride a bike. I get that. But the thing is she's so programmed now to be like, you know, like, I'm doing this because it makes me money and it makes the people that I surround myself with, whoever it may be, it makes them money, right? I'm under this contract. I've made contracts with people. And so there's things that I can and cannot do.
Let me ask you a question. When I was out in Seattle back in September, if I said, you know what, Danny? You talk all that shit, and I want you to put your money where your mouth is. And I go in my bag, right? And I pull out a tennis racket, and I say, I want to play you 1-on-1. Could you play me 1-on-1 in tennis?
Yeah.
Why is that?
But I would smash you. But that's the thing. It's completely
different. Okay. And Keep that for a second. But why would you play me one, and why would you smash me?
Because you don't play tennis.
Okay. I did at one point, but not, right. But I'm with your point. And when was the last time you played tennis? Honestly.
From like when I saw you?
Okay.
Like a year?
Okay. It's been a year since you played tennis. You come from tennis. You know how to play tennis. You don't necessarily play on the regular. However, you do know how to play tennis if the opportunity is brought to you where it's like, okay, I'm about to play some tennis against somebody. You know how to play. Just like me. I know how to play if I'm in that position. I'm not good at it, but I do understand how to play it, though. And you're right. You would kill me, but you still know how to play tennis. Even though you don't play it on the regular right now, but you still know how to play tennis. And that's the thing, is that Nikki knows how to battle rap. She doesn't battle rap on a regular basis consistently, but she knows how to battle rap. At least she's supposed to know how to battle rap. So when somebody is coming at her and calling her out, and even though she doesn't do it on the regular, that should still tap into something more, much more cognitive in her mind, where it's like, this is familiar. I know what this is, and I know what to do in this situation. Just like if I was in Seattle back in September, and I pulled out my racket, and I said, I want to challenge you one-on-one to tennis, Danny, to you, in your mind is telling you, this is familiar. I know what this is. I know what to do in this situation.
See, but the thing is, though, that's different, because Remy Ma's never stopped.
She was in jail. She did stop.
You don't think she rapped in jail?
Like, I mean, she probably spit bars for her cellmates.
You don't think she sat there? You don't think she sat there and like wrote music all the time?
Yeah, but she went in no studio.
It doesn't matter.
On no stage.
It doesn't matter because. But the thing is battle rapping is just that. You don't need to be in a studio. You don't need to be on stage. It comes from the heart, right? And you're rapping about the things that you see or your experiences, or you're trying to put someone down. Whereas Nikki, she's been making studio albums.
Right.
She hasn't been battle rapping.
Right. Right. She hasn't. Right. But the thing is, though, you're right. She hasn't been battle rapping at all. But the thing is, so she comes from battle rapping, so it is familiar to her. She can do it if she's put into that situation. And just like with Remy, too. Remy, you're right. Remy probably was, like, you know, writing, and she probably was spinning for her friends and whatnot, or her cellmates, you know, when she was locked up. But she wasn't in the studio. She wasn't at concerts. She wasn't on the corner, you know, like, you know, going at it with another motherfucker. She wasn't doing none of that shit. But the thing is, though, is that she comes from it, though. And because she comes from it, it's still in her. Because Nikki came from it, it should still be in her. And so that's why her response was an L, because you did not give us the correct response. You know better to give us a response like that. No, you gave us a pop song. You gave us a pop commercial top 40 song.
But she doesn't care. That's the thing that people don't understand. She doesn't care. Yes, she may have taken an L in the streets, but the thing is her song is still being listened to, and Remy Ma's isn't.
I would turn on Sheether before I will.
You would, but. The larger audience, you're not gonna find that. The larger audience is gonna listen to what's on the top 100 of Spotify right now. I'm just gonna let that ride. It's a different world. It's like I said, it's apples to oranges at this point. Like it's two different flavors of the same thing, but. One person doesn't care, and the other person is caring, I feel like, too much. And so Remy came out with her song. You know, she tore her apart. And then Nicki Minaj is like, I don't even need to respond. And then she makes a song. She puts one of the hottest rap artists on, Drake, and one of the other hottest rap artists on, Lil Wayne. And she has a hit.
I heard.
And in her world, hit is more down her alley than responding to an irrelevant battle rapper.
All right, here's the difference maker though. And this is why it was important for the streets to own this. Because shit lasts a lot longer in the streets than it does in the mainstream eye. It does. You know what I'm saying? Like, to this day, we still talk about how vicious No Vaseline was. And there's a good majority of the people out there who heard No Vaseline for the very first time when they went to go see Straight Outta Compton 2 summers ago. But the streets, we own that, though. And that's still, like, near and dear to our hearts. We still talk about No Vaseline. We still talk about Hit 'Em Up. You know what I mean? We still talk about these classic diss tracks. We still talk about a fucking Takeover. You know, like, we talk about these classic diss tracks that the mainstream people don't know and don't understand anything about. And that's what I'm saying is that what's No Frauds? No Frauds is only, it only has such a long of a shelf life. It's only going to live for so long. Whereas Sheether, I guarantee you, 15 years from now, we're still going to be talking about Sheether.
I don't think so.
I'm telling you.
I don't think so.
Why are we still talking about No Vaseline?
Because it's different. Because nobody cares about Remy Ma. Nobody cares about her. Because before Sheether, when was the last time you talked about her?
All the Way Up. The hottest song in the world.
False. Not the hottest song in the world.
Are you serious? Dude. That was like the hottest song of 2016.
No. According to who?
According to Billboard.
Well, we've already talked about how that doesn't matter.
No. Billboard's the actual numbers. We talk about the Grammys. That shit don't matter.
But nobody even knew who Remy Ma was.
Wait. Fucking All the Way Up didn't it win a Grammy?
It may have. Yeah. But the thing is, okay, so before that, when did you talk about her?
Before All the Way Up?
Yes.
Now, are you talking about on some street shit or some mainstream shit?
No, in general.
She had the mixtape when she came out. Oh, Love and Hip Hop.
She was on that?
Yeah.
Oh, see, maybe you're more from the streets than I am. Because I haven't even heard the Remy Ma name since, like, I don't, what, was she on Pastor Cavarsier? I think that had been the last time that she even crossed my mind.
That was a cut.
Or even Lean Back.
Oh, man. Well, when she got out either August or September of 2015? No, 2014. 2014. She got out of prison in 2014. And then when she came out, she dropped a mixtape. And the mixtape did decent. It had some good downloads or whatnot. But then that's when she started getting back into the flow with Joe. And then she was on Love & Hip Hop with her and Papoose. And then they dropped All the Way Up, and it was a freaking smash. And then here we are right now. But the thing is though is that I don't agree with you in terms of like it's not gonna be alive, because that record that's always gonna be there now. Like that's always gonna be there. That's always gonna be brought up. You know, when it comes to conversations. You know what this is? And real quick, and to me, No Frauds is gonna get played out. Just like Back to Back is played out. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the only people who are bumping back to back are the top 40 stations. Like, you're not hearing that at the barbershop no more. And the thing is, I think, like, with this, though, I think that this is going to be, and I'm just kind of, like, taking into consideration our conversation that we're having right now. I think this is going to be the female version of Nas and Jay-Z.
Not even close.
No, wait. In terms of where people stand, because people are always going to say Nas bodied Jay-Z, and there's people who say Jay-Z bodied Nas. And I think we're kind of be in a situation with Nicki and with Remy, but just in a different situation.
You can say that about anybody.
No,
you could say that Tupac bodied Biggie and vice versa.
You can't say about Ja Rule and 50. That was completely one-sided.
Did Ja Rule even come back with anything? I didn't even follow that beef.
He came out with with that one album, Blood in My Eye, I think it was called. It came out in 03. And he had some diss tracks on there, but they were so lightweight.
But see, nobody even talks about that anymore.
That beef or that album?
The beef.
Yeah, because it was one-sided. 50 demolished him. He ruined his career.
So the same thing's going to happen with this Nicki Minaj Remy Ma thing, except for it's not going to ruin Nicki Minaj's career.
It's going to ruin Remy's?
It's not going to ruin anybody's. I think they're just going to be back at square one. The only thing now is Remy has things that she can use against her in future songs, but it's just not going to have the same effect, I don't think.
Do you think that walking away from this beef, did Remy gain more from this?
She maybe gained a little bit more recognition.
Okay.
At least in the hip-hop side. Mm-hmm. Top 40 still doesn't care about her.
Top 40.
Right, you laugh at it, but that the thing is top 40 is where you're finding your successes. Right? When you listen to the radio show on Sunday morning with Ryan Seacrest.
And that's what I'm going to say, fucking Ryan Seacrest. That's all I keep picturing in my head.
He's not talking about Remy Ma, he's talking about Nicki Minaj.
He don't want to talk about Remy Ma.
Right, but you know why? Because the popular vote doesn't care about her. It's that simple.
But you
care about her because you come from a different, you're from a different mold. You care about it because that's what you listen to. But the majority of people, they don't, so they don't care.
But my thing, I'm not disagreeing with you because you are right. My thing is, though, is that top 40 only lasts so long. Because you know who else was white hot in top 40? Coolio. And Gangsta's Paradise. And no one talked, not even the streets talk about that shit anymore.
No, they don't. But the thing is he's on I Love the 90s tours. Remy Ma's not going to be part of that. Like, Nicki Minaj, she will be part of I Love the 2000s tours. Remy Ma won't.
Remy Ma won't be part of the Terror Squad tours?
The Terror Squad tours? Yeah. But have you... Yes, but they have, like, they have the I Love the 90s stuff right now, right? So the newest tour is TLC, CC Music Factory. Who else is on that? Montel Jordan. Like, and they're touring, right? Right. Like, When we're that age and, like, these people go on tour, like, Remy Ma's not going to be part of that. Nobody cares about that.
Man. I beg to differ. People will still care about Remy Ma.
No, they won't. They won't.
You don't think New York cares about her?
Okay, New York will, but outside of that?
Who does New York ride with? Remy Ma or Nicki Minaj?
Probably depends on who you ask.
Literally.
What borough you're going to?
I don't know. I think in terms of a long-term from a long-term perspective, I think that Remy is going to come out smelling like a rose, even though right now, you're right, No Frauds is charting, and, you know, it does have much more, you know, radio hits and then Spotify hits and whatnot. That is very true. But I think long-term, though, Remy's going to have the last laugh.
In the streets that nobody cares about.
You gonna stop on discrediting the streets, goddammit.
No, but that's what it is. But that's the thing. Like, that's what it's always been. Nobody cares about that. Like, unless you're there and you're from that, you care. But if you're not, dude, nobody cares.
What do y'all think? Everyone's listening. What do y'all think? What, send us your emails, mdxpodcast1@gmail.com. Send us a tweet at mdxpodcast on Twitter. Is that right?
Yeah.
At mdxpodcast. Send us a Facebook comments or even hit us on Instagram. What do y'all think about this? Who do y'all think came out smelling like a rose in this whole Nicki Minaj, Remy Ma? Do you have Remy Ma? Are you Team Remy or Team Nicki Minaj? Let us know, and we'll read your email and your comments on the air next week. I'm looking at you, Carla. I'm looking at you, Teresa. I'm looking at you, Diana.
She don't even know how to listen.
In case one day she figures it out.
It's been like 3 years we've been doing this. She still can't figure out how to listen to it.
I'm looking at y'all, though, especially because we were talking about this in the group, and y'all were heavy in the conversation. So I want to hear from y'all what your take is. We are only 17 days away from WrestleMania 33.
Yep. Don't care about it.
Wow, that's deep. You didn't get hype for Roman and Undertaker?
No. Like, I'm so happy that I have not paid money to go to WrestleMania this year. Roman Reigns, Undertaker, don't want to see. Sorry. Like, zero interest in that match. Brock Lesnar and Goldberg, yeah, don't care.
Yeah, yeah.
I do kind of care about Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton because their story is actually compelling.
Yeah.
A little bit. Shane, AJ may be okay.
The needle is starting to move a little bit for me for that match. A little bit. I gotta see more with next week what's gonna happen, but yeah.
John Cena and Nikki Bella versus The Miz, man, and Maurice, no thanks.
That gives a man. Please, I really want that match to not have the women involved. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be misogynist. I don't need Nikki Bella and Maurice in the match.
Well, it's happening, and I told you this in like January. Just FYI.
I know.
So I don't care about that match. Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho could be good.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Andre the Giant Memorial, don't care about. Because that's just a cluster like it is every year. We don't have an IC match yet, do we?
Ooh, that's true.
But it's probably going to be Dean Ambrose and Baron Corbin. Don't care.
Yeah, you're right. Baron Corbin.
Don't care. There's no SmackDown tag match yet, is there?
I think it might be Alphas and Usos.
That will be good.
Yeah. But they'll probably put that on the damn pre-show.
And then what else? Raw tag? Do we have Raw tag yet?
I want to say Club and...
And Enzo and Cass?
Ew. Maybe. Right? Oh.
I don't understand why we need a triple threat for the Raw Women's title. That's unnecessary.
Dude, that like bugged the hell out of me. I'm like, it's the same thing as last year. Just without Becky Lynch.
Right? Right? And then, isn't it like a four-way for the SmackDown one?
I think
one?
So. Alexa Bliss, Mickie James, Natty, and what's her name?
Becky. Yeah. So you basically have two more than triple threat matches for the women's titles. Like, why?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I think
it's a terrible card. This is going to be 27 all over again.
27 was. Oh, wait, Atlanta? Yeah.
Atlanta.
Yeah, and I think that they're adding, even though I like both of them, they're going to have Nia Jax against Dana Brooks. I think I read that somewhere earlier today, and that'll probably be pre-show as well, too, but...
I like Nia Jax. Could care less about Dana Brooke.
I love them both. I love Nia Jax.
So it's like this card that I just don't care about.
Yeah, I...
Takeover will be better than WrestleMania.
That's what's probably going to happen. Because Takeover last year, people said Takeover was better than WrestleMania last year.
Which is pretty close to it.
Yeah. You see, the thing is that, because you're right. I mean, personally, I'm looking forward to Roman and Undertaker. I think that's going to steal the show.
Of course you are. I mean, steal the show?
It is.
Are you smoking crack?
Nah. I'm telling you, that's going to steal the show. That's going to get everyone emotionally involved.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, they're going to want to hang themselves after a match.
I'm telling you, bro, for real, that match is going to be fire.
No.
Dude.
That's an untrue statement.
Dude, all bullshit aside, Roman has some good-ass matches.
False.
Seriously? Every pay-per-view match he's in, the match is great.
No, but you jock him, super hard.
Bro.
Like... He's on the same tier as Kanye for you.
Oh, wow. I don't think it's that deep.
Like, if you could be stuck between a Kanye Roman Reigns sandwich, like, you'd just be in heaven.
Get your ass out of here. No, but for real, Roman Reigns, he'll give us a good match. Taker is a ring general. And plus, he wants this match to be, the passing of the torch to Roman Reigns. So
boring. Nobody cares.
So Taker is going to do everything to make sure that this match is going to be phenomenal. And I'm
no, he's not. He's going to hurt himself.
No. He's smart enough to know what to do. He's smart enough.
Yeah. Well, he's hurt already as it is. So we'll see.
So I'm confident in that match. Goldberg and Brock Lesnar. I like Brock. You know I like Brock, but I'm just so tired of Goldberg.
I've already heard that that's supposed to main event. And it's supposed to be really fast.
Shut the fuck up. That's the closeout mania?
That's what they're saying.
With Brock winning?
No.
Quit playing.
They're saying no.
Quit playing.
That's just what I'm seeing right now.
Dude, I will fly out there and I'll kick your ass if Goldberg retains and ends Mania with him retaining. Shit. I'm thinking about it right now. You might be right. Fuck. Because
and did you not see his new T-shirt that says "Title Run" on it?
Oh shit! Yeah, I saw that yesterday. God damn it! And plus, he's never had a WrestleMania victory.
There you go.
Shit! Oh no! 20. I'm sorry, 20.
20. But he got booed out of the building.
Yeah, he's never closed out a WrestleMania. Fuck. I'm sorry, y'all. I know y'all are listening okay, what's going on? What's wrong with my room? But the reality is setting in. Because this whole time I'm thinking to myself, all right, Brock Lesnar is gonna wrestle him and take the damn title away. Great. But now since you said that, it's now making me think that he because this entire run has just all been, I want my son to see me be the superhero. That's all this has been. It's been, I want my son to see me as a superhero. And, I can see Goldberg politicking his way, being like, hey, I know I have the belt. I know I've had these 30-second matches, but I kind of want a WrestleMania win and to headline it. Shit.
Have you seen the memes that's like Goldberg holding the title and it said, this all started as a 2K17 pre-order.
It's gone too far.
That's exactly what it is.
Right. Man, dude, I was in tears when I saw that one. When I saw it for the first time, I was in tears. I'm like, that is so true. It's gone too far. Damn it. Oh, I'm gonna be heated. Ooh, we should record right after WrestleMania, just so we can just have some really raw, uncensored. Wow.
We should. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Why? Yeah. We should, for real. Damn. Because I'm taking off.
If it wasn't like an 8-hour show, I would say let's record during.
Oh shit. I know, right? That show's gonna be long as hell. Shit. Are you taking off the next day?
I can't.
Damn, for real?
Yeah, because both of my managers are out, so I have to be there.
See, I always take off a day after WrestleMania just for GP. So
yeah.
Damn. Okay. All right. But fuck, man. I'm sorry. I'm still thinking about that shit. Like, that's just really killing me right now.
Yeah.
Well.
I wanna. We're like an hour and a half right now, but I want to. My text to you today.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Go in.
Okay, so I'm bringing Sad Award back right now. So let me ask you a question.
Yeah, what's up?
So if you're looking at like the marquee, advertisement for something,
mm-hmm.
right? Let's say it's a concert, right? And you look at the marquee, and you see all the. Like the people that are on there, right? They're supposed to be there.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So you would expect them to be there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we got a huge, I would say probably concert of the summer coming up. The Futures tour, right?
Oh hell yeah, 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 yeah.
Right? So Future, Migos, Kodak Black, Tory Lanez, right?
Yeah.
So I find out that they are not going to be in every city.
Right. Aren't they doing like where only select cities have the entire group?
No. No city gets the entire group.
What?
Right. So they've advertised it as Future, Migos, Tory Lanez, Kodak Black.
Yeah.
With possibility of ASAP Ferg. Young Thug.
Right.
Right. No. That's not true. You will always get Future because he's headlining.
Right.
And it's his tour. Not every city gets Migos. Not every city gets Kodak Black. Not every city gets Tory Lanez.
Oh, wow.
The cities that don't have, like, Migos or Tory Lanez or Kodak Black, that's where ASAP Ferg and Young Thug come into play.
Oh, so they're going to, like, switch out?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So, I find out that the tickets that I bought are for Future, Young Thug, ASAP Ferg. There's no Kodak Black, no Migos.
What?
No Tory Lanez.
Oh, it sucks. Because, wait, because what?
The day before, yeah. The day before in Auburn, which is closer to me, yeah. is... Future, Migos, ASAP Ferg, and I don't think Kodak Black or Tory Lanez are on that, but Migos is there. I really only want to see Migos and Future.
Right, because I was about to say, like, that was like your bread and butter with this whole show. Like, right. that was your selling point.
Right. So then I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm like, are you kidding me right now?
Right.
Like, how can you advertise all four people and then later on say that, oh, they may not be at every tour.
That's what I'm saying, because when that shit dropped for the first time, I remember you and I were looking at it together, and it was yeah. only like the show you're going to, and it was one other show because they had that asterisk next to it where every right. performer was going to be there.
Right. But the thing for me is you can't advertise Migos everyone that big and then tell us that they're not going to be on every tour.
True.
It should be Future possibly featuring these people.
Right.
Right? So, I was pissed and I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Because I bought tickets, yeah. I had tickets to everything, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, all these other people are going to fall for the same thing. And they're going to buy tickets to this other show. I'm going to try to get tickets to the other one, and I'm not going to be able to get rid of my ones right now.
Wait, so you're going to buy tickets to the other show, and right. you're going to sell the ones you have right now.
Correct.
You can sell them, dude. I mean, that'll be an easy sell.
But the thing is I'm assuming a lot of people are going to get hit with that same thing where they're like, oh, snap, like we're going to get everybody. So they're going to, you know what I mean? But, okay, so I was really super duper pissed about that. So that was my sad award because their advertising sucked.
Yeah, that was some bullshit.
So I had my tickets listed on Ticketmaster and I didn't get any hits on it. So I'm like, whatever. I lowered the price. I basically put them on there so I would break even.
Right.
Didn't want to make any money off it. Just
give them, break yeah, even. Give my money back.
Right?
Yeah, go for it.
So I had them on Ticketmaster. I had them on OfferUp. And then a couple days ago, I put them on Craigslist. Mm-hmm. And I went to sleep really early yesterday because I had to be at work at 5 today. Mm-hmm. So I woke up this morning and I had a text from like someone at like 1 in the morning. And it was like, hey, are you still selling your future tickets?
Say, hell yeah.
So I texted whoever back today, like earlier today, and they were like, I'm interested. And I was like, you understand that this is for the Ridgefield show, not the Auburn show, right? Correct? Yeah,
very clear.
And they were like, yes, those are the ones that I want. I'm like, all right. So I ended up offloading them, made my money back.
Nice.
So that burden's off my shoulders now.
I thought you were gonna hit me. I thought you were gonna tell me. He was like, "Hey, man, I thought it was for the Auburn one."
No. He was kind of being shady about it a little bit, and was like, "Yeah, I'm really interested, and I like to buy them." I'm like, "All right, cool." I'm like, "All you need to," I was like, "If you have PayPal or Venmo, just if once you pay me, I will immediately transfer you the tickets." Mm-hmm. Right. And I had everything set up, and I even took a picture of it, like. That I was ready to send it to him right as the payment.
Like a hit
send.
And then,
then he hit me with this, my phone's about to die. And I was like, all right. He's like, let me hit you on my other phone. And I'm like, what?
Like iTunes phones.
And then, right? Am I talking to Kevin Gates?
Right, Kevin Gates and shit. Right.
And then he hits me up and he's like, he was like, what's your Venmo? So I gave him my Venmo, and then it's like so and so has, you know, Venmoed you $400. I was like, oh, this is for real.
Okay.
So then I transferred him the tickets, and then he looked at him. He's like, yeah, we're good. I was like, all right, have fun.
Okay, cool.
So I'm assuming he's super south, like close to Portland, and not trying to drive up here.
Oh, okay, right.
And either that or he could care less that Migos isn't going to be there doesn't care about them and only wants to see Future.
Right. Probably just wants to see, just wants to see Future.
You know, or something along those lines. I don't know. Yeah. But like I said, I made it clear that it's, you know, it's for the Ridgefield one and not the one up here. And he's like, yep, that's cool. That's the one I want.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So.
I thought you were going to say, like, after you like sent the picture that he took, like, another like 3 hours to respond to you or something like that.
No.
Oh, you still there, bro?
No, that whole part went through well. My sound award just went to the poor advertising of it.
That's advertising, man. And you know, they probably had it like that probably was the original plan. But I probably like the artists were like, man, that's a lot of dates. Because remember even when you and I were saying like, damn, they're going consistently every day. They're going literally every day working for the next 3 months or whatever it is. So they probably looked at the schedule and was like, God damn, it's a lot of days. Can we split it up?
Maybe. But I know like Migos is touring for Culture right now as well. Mm-hmm. So like they're doing that. I know Kodak Black ain't doing nothing. And Tory Lanez isn't doing it. It's just... Like, that original one that came out, it doesn't say anything about people not being there.
Well, no, it had the little asterisk saying that these are the dates where everybody's going to be there.
Right. It doesn't, because if you look at it now, mm-hmm. it says, there's a huge, huge asterisk that says artists will vary per venue. Mm. But the original one that came out doesn't say that.
Sure done that. Very true.
Nope. Very, so, yeah, obviously they knew they messed up, so they were like, we should probably do something about this.
Let's let them know, like, right now before people start buying. Oh, wait, too late. People are buying tickets. Shit.
Right? It's ridiculous.
Oh, man.
Whatever. Like I said, I offloaded mine, so I'm pretty happy man. About it.
No, I mean, no, that worked out. So this way you sold your tickets, you got the new ones for the show that you're that you really are going to, so you good now.
I haven't bought those yet. I haven't bought those. Oh, okay. Yet. I will. I will eventually. There's still a lot of tickets, so.
Who are you taking up?
I feel like this one's not selling very well.
Well, it really hasn't, like, I mean, it was advertised heavy that first week.
Yeah.
But you know, the closer you get to the showtime, that's when everybody's
yeah, gonna, everybody's gonna want to go.
Yeah, it's gonna be hot. You taking Anthony?
No, it's too ratchet for him. I'm going with Jason.
Oh, nice. Mr. Shibito. Yeah.
My little ratchet.
Oh, that's good shit. No, when is that? That's in June, right?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, you gotta make sure you let us know and shit. Cool.
That's about
yeah.
it. I want an eBay auction.
Oh yeah, would you win?
My Holy Grail action figures. It's the 3-pack Demolition.
Oh, word?
Yeah, that like it normally goes for like 100, 150, yeah. And I got it for like 62.
Oh, nice.
And it comes with a signed picture of Axe and Smash, and I'm just like, this is going to be the dopest thing
ever.
Oh,
hell yeah, that's hard.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, man, don't take it out of there. Don't take it out of the package.
Oh, no. That one's keeping yeah. it. The box is a little bent, but it's whatever.
Yeah. That's dope as hell. Did you do one of those numbers where you literally watch it go down to the second?
So I'd never bid on eBay before.
Okay.
So when I saw it, I did made my initial bid, and I just did the minimum bid, $60, and then I was the only person that bid on it, right? Mm-hmm. And then everyone always told me, you know, just go watch it because there's going to be, like, you know, people that try to boost
yeah,
it at the
end.
Very end
yeah.
All right, cool. I'm like, cool. So I'm watching it, and then, like, 30 seconds left, and then, like, someone bid, like, $61. Like,
fuck you.
I'm like, oh, my goodness. So then I go in, and I'm like, 62, yeah. right? And if you look at the bid history, my bid went through at zero.
Nice.
And
nice.
So, like, I just got
nice.
It. And I was like, dope.
Nice. Oh, that's glorious. I swear, I'm not playing with you. When you undercut someone that, like, you know, that tries to outbid you on eBay, but when you put that last second bid, kind of like just like what you just did, to win the auction at the very last millisecond, that shit is equivalent to sex. I swear to God. That shit feels so fucking good. Like, ah, oh, fuck you.
I never buy stuff off eBay, so.
Oh, yeah. See, I go on eBay a lot. I buy a lot of shit off eBay. So when I saw your post, I was like, oh, that's cute. but
see, the thing is like I buy shoes and stuff. There's so many fakes on eBay. It's like I don't mess with it.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's true. Yeah. So yeah, you always go through the source. That's true.
Yeah. So I just don't ever mess with eBay.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Did you go on Lids and take advantage of that sale?
I did not.
Oh, of course not.
I actually just purged like a lot of my hats.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
You getting rid of them all?
I got rid of, like, so when you were here, I had, what, like, 3 rows?
Shit, you had, like, 300.
I have, so you know the shelving in that closet that you saw the hats
yeah.
on? I think I had 3 rows. Now I have, like, barely one
row. Whoa, hey, wait. What are you doing with all your hats?
My mom's giving some away to like my uncle,
okay.
And then I think we're donating the rest of them.
Why are you getting rid of them?
Cause I don't wear them.
What size head you wear?
7.5, too small for your big head.
Damn. Cause I sure was about to be like, hey, bro, Run me a picture. What you got? What you trying to sell? Because, yeah, no, nah, yeah, 7.5 is too small.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Shut up.
You're like my big-headed cousin, Craig.
Craig?
Yeah, Bevo Lottie.
Did I meet him?
Got more head than he got body?
You stupid.
Got him.
I'm mad I fell into that. Yeah, man, I fell into that. On that note, we're going to close out. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening to us again. It was a pleasure. Gave you all about an hour and 50 minutes of nothing but of ratchet goodness.
And, ratchet goodness.
Absolutely. But yeah, man. So, you know, it looks like we're good and everything. So, we'll come back next week. All right, bro?
Yes, sir.
All right, y'all. Thank you very much for listening. And we will holla.
Peace.